Well, shoot. I am trapped under an awning next to a 7-Eleven. You know what? To be fair, I was about to say it's raining harder than I've ever seen it rain since I've been traveling around Asia. But to be fair, I think it actually, in the time it took me to just to pull out this little recorder, I think it has slowed down. I mean, the sky is just a sheet of gray. So I don't have any particular faith that this rain's gonna stop. But it did start real suddenly. So I don't know, we'll see. Basically, I got up today. So last episode, which was yesterday for me, I saw this cool looking mountain across a river. And I was like, oh, that looks fucking rad. Apparently I can walk across this bridge, and then if I can get around to the back of the mountain, there's a hiking trail. But I should probably try to get started, you know, early-ish in the day, because it gets dark really early in Asia, especially in Taipei, because the time zone is an hour different from South Korea and Japan. And I was like, ah, well, I don't need to do that today. I'll take a day off. But I just, you know, got up. I don't know. I did some laundry, had something to eat. And I'm just like, ah, man, fuck it. I don't want to hang out inside all day. Fuck that. And, you know, it was a little overcast, a little rainy, but that's kind of a good thing because it, you know, takes care of the insane sun. So I was like, yeah, let's just go. Let's just go. Like, even if I don't really make it, you know, I'll just, like, go cross the bridge. And even just to explore on the other side of the river, because it's not clear through Google Maps exactly how to get around to the back, to the hiking trail. The mountain, by the way, it's called Yinghanlin, Yinghanling. There's Yinghanlin Trail, entrance of Guanyin Mountain, Yinghanling. Oh, maybe that's why I couldn't find it. Guanyin Mountain. So what the hell is Yinghanlin then, if that's not the name of the mountain? Maybe it's two mountains next to each other? I don't know. I had a hard time finding height information about this place. But yeah, I've learned that on Google Maps, especially around mountains, a lot of times, I don't know, if there's like a dead end or something, maybe you can get your way through on foot. Like, maybe it doesn't work as a car, but there might be a pedestrian way. Where I've learned already around here not to count on that at all, because this mountainous stuff is just the terrain. The terrain is brutal, just all of a sudden. Major gorges and stuff, and impassable cliff faces, and it's just like, you really, if it says you can't pass on Google Maps, I'm taking its word for it. So by the looks of it, once I get across the river, it might be quite a walk. I'm really not sure. But I thought, even if I just experiment with that, even if I don't actually make it up the mountain at all, like, hey, whatever, you know, it even sort of takes the pressure off starting a bit later in the day. Like, it's already 2:45. It'll be dark by 7 o'clock. By 7:30, like, I cannot be on a mountain. But I was like, yeah, maybe I'll just go over there and wander around. And yeah, it was a little bit overcast, but, you know, in kind of a good way, get rid of the sun. But yeah, geez, at this station, I'm at Guandu Station, G-U-A-N-D-U. It seems like the closest one to the bridge. And everything was fine, and I stopped into the washroom. And as usual, one squat toilet, one Western toilet. This is the land of equal opportunity for squat toilets. Just in the time I was in there, I came out and, like I said, it was raining harder than I think I've ever seen it rain. But yeah, it's already calmed down to normal rain at this point. So maybe, I don't know. I mean, like, it started so fast, it came out of almost nowhere. Maybe it'll go away out of nowhere. I don't know. But right now I'm just standing under the awning because it's like, I can't, dude. Look at how heavy this rain is. I do have an umbrella, but this is fucked. And I'm basically heading like to a bridge and then across a bridge, like total exposure. There's quite a bit of awning action still in Taiwan, but there was a lot more in the central city by Ximen, the Ximen neighborhood where I started off my first couple of weeks. It was awning city. There's less awnings now. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe if I go out and walk through it, you know, like maybe it'll all just clear up. But I feel like the responsible thing to do is just stand here for a bit, just in case. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely calming down. Definitely. So that's good. That's the whole reason I pulled out this recorder, really, is because I wanted to catch a little moment of the crazy rain, and I don't even think I got it. So yeah, maybe this will be all right. There's some taxi cabs. There's a bunch of them here. That'd be funny. Like, hey, can you just take me to this mountain, please? On scooter delivery men, these poor fuckers. This is a day. Oh, geez, though, this guy's wearing kind of like just the plastic slippers like you wear in the shower room. He's basically just wearing that as he does Food Panda delivery on his scooter. But that's a kind of a good footwear for this weather. Yeah, this guy too is running across toward me. Just sandals. Good rain equipment. Yes, the other thing is I don't have any layers. I don't have, like, my weather-resistant jacket. I don't even have a long-sleeve shirt. All I got is a t-shirt because the weather's been so insanely hot. I can't even conceive of ever needing a layer. But I don't know, in this weather. And I had my little 7-Eleven folded-up little rain thing that I realized I never used. Literally just yesterday, I took it out of my pack and put my passport in there instead. Now it's like, oh, geez. Of course, the day after I take it out, it's like, geez, that would actually be great right now. I could put that on right now. Fuck me. So dumb. And the rain is coming down not sideways now. Now it's only at a 30-degree angle. It's just so hard to stop, I guess. Like, obviously, the thing to do is just stand here for 10, 15 more minutes. It can't be a bad thing to do. No bad can come of that. I just am so, like, I just want to go. I just want to be walking. I hate standing still. Doing this little recording is the only thing keeping me standing here. But yeah, I think this has calmed down enough. I'm not willing to give up yet. I think I am going to head out. Head out into this rain and just see how it goes. See what happens. Hope for the best. All right, well, that didn't go too bad. The rain did not go away, but it sort of stayed at a dull roar. Not too bad. My pant legs are super duper wet. Everything else isn't too bad. But yeah, I made it to the bridge. Wasn't the shortest walk in the world. I had to walk down to Gwandu Temple because there's like a big mountain just right in the way of getting to the water. Down around to Gwandu Temple and then up around to the Gwandu Bridge. And I could see the mountain across the water. It was real pretty, but the top was all covered over in misty clouds. But yeah, it was far too rainy though to take it any further. It's like, all right, that's enough. But yeah, it was kind of neat in a way, just doing a little rain walk, even though I'm all wet now. I just gotta head home, but being in rain world. Because as I was approaching the bridge, like, I really didn't see anybody. And then there was an old guy with a bicycle just standing under one of the smaller, like, ramps heading up to the bridge. Just standing there with his bike, just waiting for the rain to stop, which it still hasn't, so I don't know. I guess eventually he probably just had to sally forth. But yeah, just gave him a little nod hello. And then later on, I saw a stray dog walking around, and then another one and another one. It was a group of like five of them. Just five dogs, all just hanging out. Still, it's still slightly eerie to me when that happens, because stray dogs are just not really a thing in North America. But I don't know, they seem nice enough. They were just doing their own thing. But it is like a slightly different world when it's all rainy. And the average person is, I guess, has the common sense enough not to just go walking through it. But it's kind of cool, kind of nice in a weird way. But I at least made it to the bridge, so it can be done, and there's definitely a walking path across the bridge. Yo, it's the next day, very hot today, very sunny. So I just walked by some construction guys that some of them were working, but some of them were taking a break. Speak of the devil. Obviously they're gonna be, you know, worn out from working. It's a bit into the afternoon by now. Oh, here's all those dogs. Those dogs I saw in the rain, they still are here. They live here, I guess. Hey, doggies. There's fall five. Look at that, weird. The bike symbol here for this bike lane is an old-timey bicycle with a huge front tire, a tiny back tire. Yeah, obviously they're tired out from working, but also just, you know, from the body language, just mopping their brows, sitting in the shade, you can tell that this heat is getting to them. Because this intense heat warning, you know, like the, well, I guess that's what it's called, just a heat warning. That was actually kind of rare while I was in South Korea. I didn't see a ton of official heat warnings. Where here, this is so fucking crazy. It's just like heat warnings every day. Every day. Today's like 35 degrees Celsius. And anyway, just seeing those guys, it just, I don't know, in a way it's just like I just assume because I'm not from here and I'm not from this climate. Like I was saying last episode about how, you know, I don't actually have, and like people from the north don't actually have any way to survive any better against cold. We're just trained to never get caught in the cold without the appropriate clothing. So I think it's kind of the same here. I just assumed like everybody must just be used to this heat, you know, like they can just deal with it better than me. But I don't know if that's true. I think everybody's just getting fucked in the face, which makes sense. It's really fucking hot. But I don't know. It's one of those neat things about traveling. It does just kind of dissolve your weird assumptions that turn out not to be true. And it's just a little thing. Heat is heat. Hot is hot. People don't like being crazy hot. But just to see it for real, it's like, yep, we're all in this together, brother. You know? It's almost weird, though, that it's so sunny and clear today. Because speaking of these fucking weird heat waves and stuff, when I looked at the weather for today, it said possibility of thunder. So I actually brought my little disposable raincoat. I'm going to make sure I bring it with me from here on in. But yeah, it was intense heat, clouds, lightning, thunder, rain. Not just today, not just tomorrow, all fucking week. I thought I was looking at like the just today, you know, like the hour by hour breakdown. I was like, did I make a mistake? But no, it's the whole week. Totally unchanged. Almost identical weather forecast for every single day. And it's all a nightmare. So yeah, the rain could come at any time. There are clouds, but they're not very ominous. And it's mostly clear today and very warm out. I think I might, when I put away this recorder, I think I might break out the umbrella just for shading properties. Like on this little path I'm on, it's at least semi-shaded. But once I get out onto the bridge, I'm just not in the mood to get fucked by this, by this sun. And I don't have a big floppy sun hat anymore. I left that thing in South Korea. So I can just feel it. Even though I've got suntan lotion on, I can feel it on the back of my neck. It's like, I just don't want to, I want to deal with this. Fuck you, sun. But yeah, I'm back on the same path I was on. Shit, there's a train going by. That caught me off guard. A train snuck up on me somehow. I'm back on the same path I was on in just that last segment from yesterday. Heading toward the Gwandu Bridge. I went one stop past Gwandu Station and just I'm walking back from there just because it's a little more direct. It was a bit circuitous to get to the bridge, but yeah, there it is. I can see it in front of me. This ain't so bad. Pretty short walk. Oh, I can feel that heat on my neck. Fuck you. God. I mean, at least the top of the mountain is very clear today. Certainly not misted it over. It appears that from this side, once I get to the other side of the bridge, there's a hiking path through the foothills, because there's really no foothills on the ocean side. It just drops right over to the shore. But away from the ocean side of these mountains, it's actually a pretty extensive, much smaller mountain range. It's, you know, like a quarter or a third as high. And it seems like there's a walking path through there. God, though, I cannot believe this. I can really feel this heat. This is fucking crazy. I just feel like I'm baking. Shit. So I don't know, man. We'll see. You know, I've been doing okay. Fighting through this hot, hot heat. But to go to the middle of nowhere in this hot, hot heat, it's just not a great plan. I don't know. We'll see. We'll fucking see. I'm gonna try, see how it goes, but yikes. But man, the other thing, I'll just say this one last yammer before I get to the bridge, and yeah, I'm definitely pulling out my umbrella once my hands are no longer filled with recording equipment, because this is fucking crazy. But man, one thing, the humidity's really been fucking with me, where this new place has a washing machine, which is nice. The other place didn't. It just, you know, had used coin laundry. But coin laundry is not too expensive here. It's actually cheaper than it was in Japan or South Korea so far. But it's like, hey, nice though, washing machine. And it's not just me and Cody from America. There is a third guy whose name I didn't catch. Because both he and Cody are constantly on the phone, on their little Bluetooth phone. I always have to take a gander if I see them, you know. I don't know, it's funny, like, bumped into Cody. Because, I mean, like, I guess I'll let you, this is like how I do stuff, I guess, with people that I don't really know, but just to make sure everything socially goes smoothly, is I do just load up a couple of conversation topics, you know, just in case we're bumping into each other in the living room and it's time for a little natter. Just things to get it rolling, just so I'm ready to go. I'm just gonna stop in this little shaded area for a sec. So I was gonna say, because this place only has 4 rooms and there's only 3 of us there, that's just amazing to have 2 full bathroom, washroom, wet room, shower room, whatever's for 4 rooms and only 3 people. Like, it's amazing, you know? And even with just the 3 of us there, there have been a couple of times where somebody's using one of the washrooms and I go use the other one. So that was gonna be my first thing. It's just like, man, when I was in Seoul, I stayed at this share house where it was like one shower, essentially, functionally one shower for like 20 rooms. But the upside is it was like $16 a day, which, what is that, American, like 12? Actually, you know, I got a cash converter app while I was trying to learn what the new Taiwan dollar is worth, so I can see how much. $16 Canadian. Geez, not even $12. $11.66. I was close, though. But yeah, that was going to be my thing. I was just going to say, like, man, I stayed in Seoul, and yeah, it was nuts. This place was ludicrously under-bathroomed. But it was super cheap, you know? You know, just there you go. Just a little start things off. Nice way to say, hey, I've been here. Here's the thing. And then just go from there. But I've never even had the opportunity because this guy is always on his phone. Which, again, hey, I don't care. Whatever. But, yeah, it's like almost like the stereotypical, like, office space, you know, type of shit where just you're on your phone all the time. Switch that back to New Taiwan dollar. 16 new Taiwan dollars is 68 cents Canadian. And yeah, this other guy is the same. So I don't even know his name. I don't even know his story. Oh, sweat. Sweat on my brow. God damn, there's just no way that going up a mountain today. This is just really, this can't be the right thing to do. Anyway, even with so few of us there, so we got a washer but no dryer. We just got to hang up stuff to dry. But there's a hanger out on the back balcony and there's a hanger in the apartment. There's plenty of places to hang stuff. But I noticed there was a bit of a log jam with that. There is still like a lot of clothes hanging up, even with just so few of us. And I'm starting to figure out why. Because having to hang up your clothes to dry, I learned in Fukuoka that the best way to do it is to do your laundry often, you know, little bits, and just hang them up to dry so it doesn't take that long. But I've done 2 little waves of laundry, and I've started to notice that my laundry just smells bad. It just smells like musty and weird. And I thought maybe it was that the machine is not not strong enough or not good. I think it might use cold water, and it's all in Chinese. It's very hard to figure out. I just set it to auto. Just do whatever you automatically do, because otherwise I don't know. So I think that could contribute. But I'm starting to think it might be a combination. You know, I don't think this washing machine is like completely blasting my clothes with super cleanliness. But I think the other and probably bigger problem, here comes the train, is that I'm learning about humidity. All right, I'm gonna start walking toward the bridge. Oof. All right, let's do this. Yeah, like I just never really, you know, I'm learning a lot about humidity. You know, I just have never lived in an environment super humid like this. So when I grew up in Eastern Canada, we never had a clothes dryer. My mom still doesn't have a clothes dryer to this day. But it was never really a big issue because in the summer we'd hang up clothes to dry and they would dry and that's all good. And in the winter it was slightly trickier, but we had a great big old house, like a big three-story ancient house with just a furnace in the basement that just pumped air out through many vents throughout the house. So you could just put your clothing, just hang it up over the various radiator holes or whatever, the heat holes, the heating grates, and it just dried the clothes. And it was never an issue because it's dry, just dry. Any time of year, quite dry. So I guess it's pretty basic science. Just if there's humidity in the air, then there's nowhere for the humidity and wetness on your clothes to go. You know, it can't evaporate and spread out into the air because the air's full already. The air's got enough fucking humidity in it. And you know, it's like, I guess I functionally understand that, but I don't really. It's just one of those things, because I never grew up with it, I don't really understand the science of how there's humidity in the air. I don't get it, man, you know? I mean, I guess you can kind of think of air as a liquid that we're all just moving through, and that sort of helps a little, but I don't know. I'm willing to admit when I'm stupid about something. There's just something I don't grok about humidity in the air. But anyway, these results of it are very clear that my clothes just won't fucking dry. So that explains why there's always clothes up to dry, because it's just, even though it's only three of us, we're trying to get our clothes to dry and they just won't dry. So like these pants I'm wearing right now, I put these pants through the wash 2 days ago and they're just not fucking dry. It's insane, you know? If you put your wet pants out to dry in a Canadian summer, they'd be dry in like a fucking hour. They wouldn't have big wet patches in 2 days. And that's where I gave them the little smell test, and it's like, yeah, the parts like around the pockets and down by the cuffs that are still wet, they are definitely the parts that smell the worst. So I think that's really the problem. It might be an underpowered washing machine, but I think it's just the gross, mildewy, moldy, whatever the fuck, mustiness of clothes just never fucking drying. And it's just so weird of like all the parts of the world to deny the clothes dryer. Like this whole part of the world, Japan, South Korea, Taiwan now. I mean, it seems like they're all quite famous for not having clothes dryers. They hang up their clothes to dry. But that shit doesn't work here. You can't do that. It doesn't work. So I was like, what the hell is this, man? What's going on? All right, I'm on the bridge. I'll try not to yammer too much because it's obviously louder. Yeah, I also noticed all the public washrooms in all of the train stations. They all have big electrical fans plugged in to blow air through there, because I got to assume it just turns into a moist, humid mess if you don't force the air to flow through. So I was thinking of various ways I could try to deal with this situation and work around it. And I was just like, what am I doing? Who the fuck cares? It's a nice bonus to have a washing machine, but I just don't want to deal with this fucking shit. I'm just going to go do laundry at a laundromat tomorrow. Like, fuck this. But yeah, I guess also, I mean, I really don't have coping strategies. I don't quite know what I'm doing wrong or what I could do different, because I didn't even know this was going to happen. Oh yeah, as a test too, once I started realizing that my stuff was just wet forever, because, you know, my clothes are so disgustingly sweaty after these days of hiking around, I went and touched my shirt you know, in my laundry bag from like yesterday, and it's still damp. And it's like, that is fucking gross. It won't dry. Why won't it dry? And I mean, the magic word is humidity. But yeah, like I said, laundry's not that expensive around here. And I mean, I like laundry. I like taking a day off to do laundry once in a while. It's actually kind of more comfortable than jockeying for space, getting in the way of my roomies, my temporary roommates. But yeah, socks, shirts, everything just smells a bit weird. Wow, this actually feels a lot better now that I'm on the bridge and there's a stronger breeze. The sun feels a lot less oppressive. So maybe this won't be so bad. And yeah, the mountain's right there, dude. Assuming I can find the path. Yeah, as long as I don't have to just literally walk around the whole mountain, maybe I'll be all right. Maybe I can pull this off today. There's the peak. I'm looking right at it. Maybe I'll see you later today, peak. But if I don't, fuck it. That's fine. At the first sign of this being insane, I'm gonna bail the fuck out. Well, I mean, to be fair, I guess I already had the first sign that this is insane. If I have a series of signs that this is insane in quick succession with no salvation in sight, then I'll bail out. Well, this is pretty cool. I don't mind this. Man, first off, I mean, there's enough shade now that I'm on this little mountain road. Wow, shades of Japan. Just because you're going through a mountain and you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere doesn't mean there's not going to be a siren. What is that noise? I wonder if that's like a chicken or a rooster or something, because it's definitely not a noise I'm used to. Don't see it though, whatever it is. But yeah, it's shady enough here that I'm feeling all right. I'm surviving. But when I was out under the open sun, this is funny because I remember it being a bit of a tug of war. I had the idea to use my umbrella to protect me from the sun, but I never really did it. Well, I tried it one day and it was too windy. But I was always a bit embarrassed about it, too, of just like, I don't know, it just seems so uncool to pull out my umbrella when it's hot out. But on Jeju, it was like 32 degrees or 33 degrees. Now that it's like 35, 36 today, it's amazing how much you learn about yourself. I just didn't care at all. I had zero compunctions about pulling that thing out. And as soon as I had it covering my neck and my head, it's like, that's awesome. That is awesome. I mean, it was a dumb thing to be concerned about in the first place. Nobody cares what I do. Nobody thinks I'm cool, that's for sure. Yeah, wandering around Asian countries where I don't speak the language and I don't know anybody. It's the silliest thing in the world to be like, oh, I don't know. Feels kind of unrad to pull up my umbrella. But yeah, once it gets hot like this, it turns out that survival easily trumps any of that shit. But yeah, I didn't need it for too long. Now it's shady enough. But yeah, this is pretty cool. I would never in a million years have been able to take this route if Google didn't lead me here. Because it's just like a little narrow, windy mountain road. It's actually kind of similar to the one when I was on the way to the sulfur place. But that one was really awful because it had big cliffs on either side blocking me in, and it was very busy and like pretty serious traffic. This one is actually narrower, but even though it doesn't officially have anywhere to walk on the sides, there's still just more room in general to get out of people's way. And it's very light traffic. Oh, like here's a little minivan coming, but I think that's the first one I've seen. I maybe saw a little mini truck or two, but it's mostly just an occasional scooter. Feels fine. Feels very comfortable. Apparently there's somebody doing some work down there, but I can't see them either. It's really jungly, very thick trees everywhere. Quite a bit of cemetery type stuff. The cemeteries that are built into the side of the mountain, the same as I found to the east of Taipei by the 101 building, past the 101. Which I guess makes sense because you would want to put cemetery plots on ground that isn't going to be used, right? You know? You need the flat ground around here. It's precious. So you can put your poor dead on the mountainsides, which weren't going to get used anyway. Reminds me of, there's an issue of the comic The Sandman about a super mountainous civilization. And they used to, instead of burying people in the ground, they would quote-unquote bury people by leaving them on the peaks of really high mountains. And then birds would eat them, and that's how they disposed of their bodies. But yeah, not only would I not have known about this anyway, I would never have had the gumption to just walk down a little weird street that, you know, just kind of winds through some people's rural properties. It's not really clear that it's a through street at all. But it's windy enough with enough little offshoots and stuff. If I didn't have the Google Map dots, there's just 0% chance I would have done this. So this is neat. This is nice. Kind of enjoying this. Man, though, getting back to humidity. Oh, well, I guess just what I was saying too about signs that it's too hot. This recorder, like when I was walking across the bridge and I put this recorder away, the plastic of this recorder, the Zoom H1N, was hot in my hands in a way I've never felt it, like, be physically hot before. Right now it feels fine. It's a lot breezier and shadier. But then I stopped in a 7-Eleven and got a second bottle of water. So I got two bottles of water and a big bottle of coffee and just some dried plums and dried mangoes in my pocket as a snack. But I stopped in the 7-Eleven to buy even more water, just to be on the safe side. And just when I reached down to stop the MP3 I was listening to, my phone was physically hot, even while it was inside my bag, like very hot. I was like, fuck. I'm trying to think, I think my phone did turn off due to heat once. But it's because I was using it to do a video call home instead of using my laptop on some very hot day in South Korea. So that wasn't really that it was so hot out. It was just that my phone was on for an extended period and it overheated. But this was, yeah, unusually hot. Oh, good. I think I've crested the top. I think I'm going down now. Oh, here's a little four-wheel drive thingy. Let me check Google Maps and make sure I'm still going the right way. Yeah, I'm like halfway to the entrance to the mountain. Yeah, so I don't know. Again, I still could just bail out. Because I don't know about this in general, but this part is going okay. Yeah, this is really nice. I've still never seen a monkey. I don't know if there are monkeys in Taiwan, but seems like there's a good chance there would be. And this seems like if I'm going to see one, this feels like the place. This is super jungle town. And, you know, still close enough to civilization. Like, I just stepped aside to let a car go by. There's power lines. Oh, yeah, so I keep getting views of the mountain. And now that I'm closer, I'm going to stick with my official guess from last episode that just trying to to look at it versus the national park, I was like, it just, this mountain that I'm heading to seems fucking huge. So I guessed 700 meters. But now that I'm closer to it, it looks a lot smaller. I think it is, again, just like the prominence of it, just the fact that it's right by the ocean. So I'm seeing the whole thing. It makes it look enormous. But from close up like this, it looks way more like Gunsan, which was about 400 meters. So just for the sake of the game, I'm going to stick with 700 as my official guess, because that was my guess from a distance. But now that I'm here, if it turns out to only be like 400 meters, I will not be at all surprised. But it's really tough to tell these things. I'm really not good at judging how tall a mountain is. It is tricky stuff. I mean, I was at some of the places in like Jecheon that were like under 200 meters and they felt very high up. It's all based on the terrain, really, just on what's around. But yeah, speaking of humidity, the other thing I wanted to mention, because like my palms are wet and they just won't dry. They're just wet and it's just like, ugh. And that's one thing too, it's just the humidity and the fact that nothing ever dries out. Is in North America, I was an anti-fan of hand dryers. I really don't like hand dryers in public washrooms, you know, where you put your hand under them and then, because they're so loud. Like, I'm very sensitive to sound. I have, you know, earplug style headphones in like all the time. I sleep with rain style white noise. I do not like loud noises. And hand dryers inside the little tiny contained environment of a public washroom. This is how I can tell that other people do not interpret sound the way I do. Because if they did, like, no one would ever use those things. To me, it is not worth it. It's like, just to get your hands dry, it's like a psychic attack. You know, you're causing yourself distress and near pain just to have dry hands. It's not worth it. And I always thought it was kind of weird too, because I feel like with drying your hands, I feel like maybe it's just something people haven't experimented with. Because in North America, say you're wearing a t-shirt, so you rinse, you wash your hands, you rinse them. Then I found if I just rubbed my hand up my arm and then my other hand up my other arm, you know, crosswise, it's kind of nice because you just get, you get a little bit of wetness on your arms. This is assuming you're wearing a t-shirt. And it spreads the water over a greater surface instead of just on the palms of your hands. You know, now it's also, some of it is on your arms. And I always found that, like, literally within 20 seconds, it's basically, it's gone. In 30 seconds, your hands are dry just normally, you know? Like, there's just no need for a hand dryer. I just am 100% not a fan of hand dryers. But around here, I was doing that same thing of just like, yeah, you know, wash my hands, and then I'll just let them dry, you know? Like, theoretically, if I'm at the subway station and I wash my hands, by the time I walk across the concourse to the exit and I reach into my wallet to get my little subway card, my hands will be dry. In North America, they would be dry. Or like 90% dry. And yeah, I've been noticing that here, that nope, my hands are still wet. And then I rub them on my pants and they're still wet. And I rub them on my shirt and they're still wet. And it's like, will you fuck off? What is happening here? Why are my hands eternally damp? They just won't stop. And yeah, it's just the humidity, man. The air does not cause this fucking water to evaporate. So I have not started using hand dryers because I still find them distressing to my brain. But that is certainly something I've been noticing. All right, what do we got here? Guan Yinshan Trail. So if I continue ahead a kilometer to Lingyung Road, that's where Google Maps is telling me to go. Oh, I'm at Guanyin Community Gazebo. Wow, I can't believe that thing. Like, yeah, that's what it is, all right, but I can't believe this thing has got its own thing on Google Maps. It's just a little gazebo. It's not exactly a rare find, but all right. Hey, there's a SpongeBob sticker inside this gazebo. And there's Patrick. Just those two. Oh, and there's a small wasp nest that may not be active, but I'm going to get out of here just in case. But yeah, from here, it's pointing me in a different direction. Oh, I see. 1,600 meters to Jianshan and 3.5 kilometers to Yinghan Peak, which I guess is where I'm going. And there's also a map. Okay, you are here. Yeah, I see. There's Jianshan, not too far. Yingheng Peak. So yeah, I guess this is just an alternate route to the top. So that is ultimately where I'm trying to get to, but I'm going to follow Google Maps. I'm going to do what the people on the Google Maps review said. I'm going to take, even though it's not as direct, I'm going to go to the entrance of Gyanyin Mountain. Because first off, it says on this little sign here that there's washrooms and parking, you know, civilization. Where, yeah, this other route, it's like, oh yeah, okay, there's just another weird mountain road I could follow that apparently will take me to the top. But yeah, this is almost eerie. There's nobody here. Even the traffic has stopped. No signs of anything. Where apparently the other one, once I get to the official entrance, they said it's really well developed. It's like literally stairs most of the way up. It's no problem. So yeah, I'm going to continue forward. Because on my first ascent during this wacky weather, I want to be around people. If I fucking collapse halfway up, I would rather be somewhere where someone's going to find me. Nobody's going to find me here. Oh, and down in this ravine, there's a washing machine someone threw away. Maybe it was a shitty washing machine that left all their clothes smelling weird. I could still get like a smell of my pants once in a while. It's just like, shit. I kind of wish I hadn't washed them at all. I don't know if this weird mildewy smell is better or worse than sweat smell. They both are bad, but... ugh. Definitely a laundry day tomorrow. But anyway, this is working out pretty well. Even the hand that I'm holding this recorder with is still super clammy, but the other one, after all my yammering, it's actually dry. Like, listen, to this. I can actually snap my fingers. There's actual dryness. Amazing. Oh, and there's a person even. Wow, smoking a cigarette. All right, I'm going to put this recorder away and sally forth. All right, this is pretty cool again. It's good because it's kind of late in the day. It's like 4 o'clock. Apparently, as I read, it only takes like half an hour to get up to the top of this mountain, so I feel like I should be fine, but it is a little later than I thought. I guess we'll see. Sometimes they have, at the entrance to places, sometimes they have the last time you're allowed to go in. So we'll see. Even if I don't make it, I feel like that's fine. This has been a fine day, a super nice walk. The incredible heat reduced to just normal heat, and yeah, it's pretty good. So even if I just got to the mountain and went back, that's all right. But yeah, I got to a more major road, and it had a nice arrow this way to the mountain. So it's like, oh, sweet, thank you. But then it did start to get a little concerning because it's this weavy, windy road with no sidewalk again, which that was fine on the road I was just on because there was so little traffic. This one is like a real road with a normal amount of traffic. So I was like, ooh, I don't like this. And just as I was getting worried, I saw a sign and a path, like a stone path, like a really well-made stone walkway that said this way to the mountain. And still like 1.4 kilometers. It's a bit of a ways. But this path, I guess we'll see if it goes the whole way, but it seems like it does. And I also saw two older guys walking down toward me. Gave them a nice hello. But on this path, I saw a little shrine thing, like a really simple shrine, just like a little, basically just three walls and a little roof. But inside is what I presume is a Buddha. I don't know for sure, but he looks very Buddha-y. I don't know if there's, I don't know, who else might be being worshipped, if anyone. But I thought I'd check because South Korea, nobody ever left stuff at any of the religious observance places. Where in Japan, that was always a bit of an odd thing to me. People would leave, I think, excessive amounts of things, and not like spiritual things, but just like candy and drinks and stuff from the convenience store. And yeah, I just found it very strange because to me, it read as garbage. And especially when you're on an obscure mountain somewhere and you find a cool shrine and it's just got like a fucking Family Mart drink there. I did not understand that practice. So I saw some stuff over here, some bottles and things. I thought I'd just come over and see what's the deal in Taiwan. And the deal in Taiwan is very, very, what's the word? Like everything here is important, you know, it's very streamlined. There's the little statue. There's incense and a little pot with, you know, where you burn the incense that's full of ashes. And there's a lighter. Oh, and there's a container here. What's in there? Inside the container, it looks like it's just incense. Oh, and there's a little salamander looking fella. And yeah, there's two bottles. One of them has water in it, presumably just if you need to put out the incense. And then one full of rice. So I don't know what specifically the rice is for, but it must be some religious ceremony thing, you know, spreading the rice or something, or maybe, I don't know, I have no idea what the rice is for. But yeah, bottle of rice, bottle of water, incense, lighter, that's all. Sleek, to the point, all the stuff you need. Cool. Yeah, because it's been a while since I've been in Japan, I sort of forgot about, you know, I just never came to a good conclusion about that. You know, I mean, I guess the origins are leaving stuff for the mountain spirits and whatnot. Or, you know, even if someone is leaving, like, you know, a little tangerine or something, it's still strange, but at least, I don't know, it'll rot away or something. It's leaving the mass-produced candy and stuff. That's where I just really feel like, what is happening here? This is a convergence of spirituality and modernity that is not working at all. It's just trash. It's just garbage. And of all the places to not leave garbage, I would think that a shrine would be high on the list. But it seems nobody else does that, just them. This is going okay, but not as well. That path did not, unfortunately, take me the whole way. But I might have been able to go farther because there was a point where it split, but it was like this way to the mountain I'm heading to and this way to some temple. And maybe that temple is what I'm nearing now? So maybe I could have gone to that temple and connected up to where I am now and avoided, because basically I've been walking on the main road now. And there's a bit of space, it's not super uncomfortable, and the traffic's not very heavy. Quite a few cyclists I've been seeing go up and down. The ones going up, man, they're having a rough time. But yeah, not the worst, walking on this street, and maybe I could have avoided some of this, I'm not sure. But I didn't want to head toward the temple in case that was a dead end, because I have been walking alongside enormous, crazy mountain peaks this whole time that are like super duper steep and awesome looking from this side. I'm on the back side of the mountain now, so they look different and they are fucking severe. So yeah, I see a shrine sort of halfway up the mountain. So I don't know, just the path. So I don't know, would the path have taken me there? Would I have wanted to do that? I don't know, I think what I did was probably the right thing to do. But unfortunately, yeah, it's caused me to have to walk on the road. However, a good thing about being on the road is I did pass a couple of bus stops, and one of them even had an LCD screen, and it was only, there's two different buses, I don't know where any of them go, but one of them was coming in 13 minutes, and the other one coming in 73 minutes. And that does remind me, one of the Google reviews said that you should plan out your transit well in advance because it's very intermittent. And that confirms that. Yeah, that's definitely a live singer. It is not a recording, but whatever this is, some kind of, I don't know what that is. I thought it was a temple at first, but actually maybe it's just a restaurant or something with like karaoke stuff. I don't know. Through the window though, I could only see the tip of the microphone and I saw the lady's weenus and that's it. So who knows? Mystery music. Oh, and this next sign, yeah, it has like meals on it. I think that is a restaurant. Cool. So yeah, I mean, I guess it's been this way this whole walk, where it's partially mountainy, partially isolated, but also partially just society, you know? It's just less so, less people, less buses, less businesses. I can see why it only takes 30 minutes though to get to the top, because I have been going uphill this whole time since I connected to the bigger road. So obviously the entrance gate does not start at the bottom. I'm gonna be halfway up before I start, but yeah, definitely getting to the point now where it's like, oh, another cyclist, a lot of cyclists. Definitely getting to the point now though where it's like, God, I hope I'm almost there. Shit, this is a long journey that just will not fucking end. If the heat had stayed the way it was earlier today, there is no way I could not have survived this. I would have bailed out a long time ago. So now it's not that the heat's getting me, it's purely just, I'm just tired. This is a lot of uphill walking. I don't know how I'm gonna get out of here after this. Maybe one of those buses though. Beautiful views though. These views around the back of the mountain are really gorgeous. 10 out of 10 view of the mountain. Oh, another random radio. Let's fade out with another radio. More radio time. All right, let's split this episode up because, you know, while I was on my hiatus from traveling back in Canada, it's like, all right, I got time to edit podcasts. That's fine. So when I pull up my raw audio and it's 2 hours of yammering, I'm like, well, what else am I doing with myself? But good news, I'm back to traveling. I got a real cheap flight. It was bananas. It was like I was going to go to Montreal and my Airbnb guy canceled. And it was only like 3 weeks out, maybe. So I was looking into stuff like, should I rebook? What should I do? I had a little train ticket to Montreal from Toronto, but it wouldn't be the craziest thing to just let that go and do something else. And all the stars aligned of my theories are, you know, it's still a little cold. It's a little chilly. Early March, March 1st is when I left. So it's before the cherry blossom season that everybody wants to see. Instead of Air Canada, I flew with United this time. It was a ridiculous journey of like I had to fly to Newark from Toronto and then stay 11 hours overnight in the Newark airport, which sucked. That airport is not designed to sleep in. It's aggressively designed that you can't easily sleep there. Brutal. And then 14 hours to Tokyo. A really rough journey, but also, because it was 3 weeks early, it was this weird time frame where normally you would book a flight way more in advance than that. You know, I've never booked a flight 3 weeks out, you know. But I was at the perfect nadir of like the price went down, but right before it goes back up, you know, if you have to get a flight at the last moment, it gets really expensive. So I was just at the point where they're just trying to fill seats. They're just trying to make sure the plane is full. And it was. It was a fully packed flight. But I got this flight for $500 Canadian. Unbelievable. I don't know if I'll ever be able to recreate that situation because it was such a specific time of year, specific circumstances, a specifically crazy flight that most people wouldn't want to take, I guess. And especially, I think, the timing. The timing of year combined with the timing of booking just before leaving, but not like just before leaving. Anyway, I don't know if I'll ever get a flight that cheap again. $500 Canadian, that's insane to get to Tokyo. But yeah, good news. More podcasts are coming, tons more, because here I am, I'm traveling again. But yeah, when I see these 2-hour episodes, it's like, I don't have fucking time to edit this, you rambly fucking piece of shit. Why are you talking so at length about everything? My editor self hates my reporter self. Like, you didn't need to report on everything. So I think going forward, just so I'm not spending my travel time editing podcasts, when there's a really long podcast like this, let's just make it a point to split it up. Let's just keep this podcast at about an hour from here on in. No more big 2-hour crazy epics. So we're going to split this one in half. I've made it to the base of the mountain. And next episode, I'll go up. And this is like, I mean, it is a worthy episode to be 2 hours because that the view at the top of this mountain, again, it's weird to talk about the view on an audio podcast, but it's nuts. It's so insane. It's one of the coolest. It was definitely the best view of Taipei, hands down. It was so beautiful. So join me next time for the second half of the journey. And now I got to get back to adventure. Adventure, quote unquote, walking around. But hey, sometimes it's real hot. Sometimes it's real rainy. Sometimes I get lost. Adventure's all relative, you know what I'm saying? All right, see you next episode.